Okay, we can call the meeting to order here.
If you want to get the meeting started, let me go and get the...
Okay. Okay, should we begin with roll call?
Good afternoon. Chair Shepler?
Here.
Vice Chair Peck?
Yes.
Member Alexander?
Yes.
And Member Woody?
Here.
Thank you. That establishes a quorum.
Excellent. Calling the meeting to order. So we'll start with public comment. Before we get into the agenda, do we have anyone online or in the audience that wishes to comment?
I do not see any raised hands in the queue.
Okay. Very good. Let's see. Next on the agenda, we have the consent calendar, approval of the minutes for the May 17th meeting. Recommendation is to approve as submitted. Any comments or discussion from the committee?
Also moved.
I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Right. We are on to B1, the WARF financing update.
Great. Thank you, Chair Shepler. Before I dive into this, I did want to ask if you wanted me to give a brief director's update. I think we skipped over that, and I just have two quick items to update you on.
Absolutely. I apologize. Okay.
That's all right. The first one, I wanted to update the committee on the status of the 115 Pension Trust, which the CFAC has provided input on, and which CFAC member Alexander is on the committee to help with the selection process of that. That committee has been very helpful. The process is underway, and we hope to take trust formation documents to the City Council in September. So keep an eye out for that on the council agenda. And I did want to update you on the city's ongoing efforts to fill the fifth seat. And unfortunately, this is not the only remaining vacancy that the city has. I just was reminded from the clerk's office today that the city's done five application periods for a variety of different board and committee seats. And so this seat remains vacant. Given that folks are potentially traveling during the summer, the city will likely take a pause and then reopen applications again sometime in the fall.
Okay.
And that concludes my update.
Thank you.
And then if we're moving into, are there any questions on that from the group? Okay. If we're moving into B1, I will hand it over to the city manager to start this item for us.
Thank you, Chair and committee members. My name is Scott Collins, city manager for the City of Morro Bay, and we'll bring up the PowerPoint. There'll be a presentation by myself and Sarah, and then we have Greg Qualick, our Public Works Director, here if you have any general questions about the WARF project itself. Next slide, please. So just want to give a reminder of the Water Reclamation Facility project. It replaces the city's wastewater treatment plant that's located near the the beach on Atascadero Road, which was constructed in the 1950s with some upgrades throughout the ensuing decades, but is well past its intended lifespan and must move inland away from coastal hazards and sea level rise, as well as meet important water quality requirements by the state, and also provide drinking, another source of potable water for our community. It is the largest capital project in the city's history, and as I mentioned, required to meet the state ordered time schedule order from the Regional Water Quality Control Board, which we're on target to meet, which is set for March of 2023. Next slide. So as of now, two out of the three components of the project are 90% complete. That is the water reclamation facility itself and the conveyance system that I'm sure you've all seen come through town. And the third component, which is the injection well field, is scheduled for design this year and then to be complete in terms of construction by 2025, which will complete the loop for recycled water. As of now, the project budget is has been moved up to 159.8 or 160 to round up million for this fiscal year. A lot of things factor into that. We will be providing an update. The City Council goes into more depth as to how we got here, but some of that is driven by the regulatory timelines. No money is free, which we found with our WIFIA and SRF loans, though the costs associated are far outweighed by the savings brought up to our community members. All told, if we bring in the SRF amendment, it'll save our ratepayers about $100 million in debt payments over the life of the loan, which is massive. But there are costs to that, and that's shown up in the form of delays related to cultural and archaeological deposits down on the bike path. Very frustrating. We worked very hard to push that as fast as we can, but largely out of our hands as the process is driven by the Environmental Protection Agency and not the city. Though I think we did make headway to move it along quicker than it would have otherwise. But there's a associated cost to that, as well as some other things that occurred up on the wharf facility, like the soil slips and the things that everybody else is experiencing with their projects, including inflation and COVID-19 impacts. As I mentioned, council will go into further depth and discussion at the August 23rd council meeting. Next slide. And just to remind the CFAC on their scope related to the wharf in general, the advisory body handbook provide and bylaws provide opportunities for CFAC to engage in special financial projects as directed by council or the city manager. As it relates to the wharf directly, council revised the CFAC's review of the wharf to focus specifically on debt service recommendations from staff, including use of cash versus other funding sources. So again, Sarah will take it from here to go into more of the discussion about the SRF amendment proposal, and Greg Qualick, our Public Works Director, is here to talk about the project should you have any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, City Manager Collins. So this is in your the staff report, the public staff report as well, if this is a bit hard to see on screen, but I did want to provide a refresher snapshot of the wharf financing with the prior project budget, which was $144.7 million. And the intent was to largely fund this through low-interest loans. The federal loan, WIFIA, is administered through the EPA, and then the state loan, SRF, is administered by the State Water Board, and that would be 93% of the funding. And then the SRF loan you see here is $61.6 million. There's an additional $5 million that is loan forgiveness. So the total loan documents are actually $66.6 million. $5 million of that will be forgiven if the full loan amount is drawn down upon, which we do anticipate it will be. And so that's listed there as a $5 million because it is a part of the project funding sources, even though we will not be paying debt service on it. And then originally it was anticipated that the city would have about a $6 million cash contribution to the project, which was the delta between what financing was available through those low interest loan programs and the, as I mentioned, the prior project budget. So I'll talk a bit, I'll show you an updated snapshot in a moment with where we are today and where we're proposing heading. But conceptually, we are recommending a four-pronged financing approach for the budget increase that Mr. Collins described. First and foremost, the city will continue to apply for grant funding, and I'll have a little bit more detail on that, but we've been doing that, we'll continue to do that. And then next, we would continue to, we recommend continuing to seek as much low interest loan financing as possible. The interest rates for WIFIA and SRF, the city was very fortunate in the timing and when they locked those in. Those interest rates are 0.83 and 0.9%, which, as Mr. Collins mentioned, saves the community tens of millions of dollars, even prior to potentially amending that loan amount. And then if those two funding sources are insufficient, we would move on to potentially using cash reserves consistent with the original intent. And then last, and this is not specifically related to the wharf, but as a best practice, we would continue to evaluate if and when future CPI rate increases are needed, not another surcharge for the project as has been done in the past, but just on an ongoing basis, we always need to ensure that the rate revenues can cover the cost of providing water and sewer services. So in a bit more detail, these are the grants that the city has applied for to date. It's about $23 million in grant funding. And you can see here that just over half of that is still under review. What we have heard with some of the grants is that they're really going to communities that have very significant water shortage challenges. And so we may not be as competitive for certain programs, but we've got staff looking at all of that and applying for everything that we might possibly be eligible for. The second prong of that four-pronged approach, again, is looking at increasing our access to low-interest financing. And we have some limitations there because the WIFIA debt amount is fixed. And the SRF planning loan, which the city got first, was a $10.3 million loan. That's also fixed and has been largely exhausted. So the one area where we have some ability to potentially seek a loan increase is through the SRF construction loan. And that is our recommendation today before you. And then we will be taking an item with your input along with it to council on August 23rd as well. Our recommendation is to seek a loan amendment to increase the loan amount by $21.2 million. If we were successful in doing so, that would be at the same interest rate of 0.9%. And so that would save approximately $12 million when you compare that with another debt issuance. Right now, the municipal bond market is, we would anticipate an interest rate around 4%. So, as Mr. Collins mentioned, these low interest loan programs are not the simplest to receive and to administer. So there is some administrative cost, but it's far outweighed by up to $12 million in savings on debt service over the life of the loan. And so here, this slide just kind of breaks it down colloquially. So we're going for free money first, as many grants as we can possibly get, cheap money second, through those low interest loan programs. And then the use of cash reserves would be third. So we would try to preserve as much cash reserves as possible in both the water and sewer funds to, of course, minimize any necessary rate increases and to be able to cover other One Water CIP projects to ensure that we continue to meet our debt coverage reserve requirements as well, and the city's reserve requirements. So we would use cash if necessary, but would prefer to preserve that for greater flexibility in the future if possible. And this is just a reminder here of the working capital fund balances as of 6/30/21. We don't have updated numbers yet for year-end this year, but in both funds, there was just over $14 million in working capital, which means near-term assets minus near-term liabilities as of the end of last year. So very healthy reserves at this point. And then finally, this is the slide that no one ever wants to see. But just as an ongoing best practice, I think we would be doing a disservice not to let everyone know that we, of course, are always looking at whether our rate structure can continue to cover the city's cost of providing water and sewer services, both in terms of the operating cost of providing those services and the capital costs that are involved with maintaining and improving an aging infrastructure system. So there are no immediate plans for rate increases at this time, and that is what we would look for sort of last in our waterfall of financing approaches. And then finally, that would result in an updated table here of a proposed financing approach for the wharf as outlined. We would actually increase the percentage of financing through these low interest loans, because that would, as I mentioned, preserve the flexibility of the cash reserves for other capital needs. And then we would actually try to ask for the full budgeted amount so that the city would not be using that $6 million in cash as was planned in the previous scenario. So basically the budget increase of roughly $15 million and the cash planned expenditure of $6 million total about $21 million, we would seek $21.2 million in a loan amendment from the SRF. And that would bring the total savings on debt service to between $64 and $103 million over the life of the loan, depending on the interest rate that you would compare that to. Oh, and I did want to also mention, so the debt service on the new $21.2 million loan would be about $800,000. And so we did verify that we would anticipate being able to continue to meet the required debt coverage ratios in both the WIFIA and SRF programs with that amount of increased funding. And so that sort of underpins the financial rationale behind our recommendation for this number. If we were to proceed along those lines of seeking a loan amendment, these would be the next steps. As I mentioned, we would go to council on the 23rd, and council has to authorize staff to take out that loan. So as of today, they have authorized a loan amendment, a construction loan agreement of up to $85 million, including the $5 million forgiveness. We've not utilized all of that. We've only used $66.6 million of that. So we would ask them if they would like to increase their authorization to $87.8 million total. And that would be equivalent to the loan that we currently have plus the $21.2 million amendment that we would be seeking. And then if council directed staff to do that, we would submit an application to SRF and their staff in likely September. The SRF review process, we've heard from them, can take 6 to 9 months or even up to a year. So that would be a lengthy process. We would continue to seek grant funding throughout that process. And at any point in time, if we were to receive grant funding, we are under no obligation to fully draw down either WIFIA or SRF loans. So we certainly would not draw down the full amounts if we were fortunate enough to receive grant funding instead. And we do, as I mentioned, fortunately have the cash reserves available to continue the project while we await the SRF review. So the recommendation before CFAC today is to support staff's recommendation to the City Council to apply for a state revolving fund loan amendment of $21.2 million to cover the full water reclamation facility project cost and to provide any relevant input to City Council for their consideration. And we would pass that along at the August 23rd meeting. And with that, we're available for questions. Thank you.
Thanks. I've got a couple of questions, then I'll open it up to everyone else. So the payback period for these loans, is it 30 years?
It's 30 years for SRF and 35 for WIFIA.
Okay, thanks. Mm-hmm. Let's see. The other question I had, well, I just lost it, so I'll open it up to others and it'll come back to me, I'm quite sure.
Thank you. Thanks, Sierra. I had a couple questions about the reserve requirement. You mentioned that there's a council designated reserve requirement. Is there also a loan covenant requirement for cash, and what is that?
Yeah, good question. There are requirements in both the WIFIA and SRF loan agreements, and they're slightly different. One requires us to put aside 1 year of debt service into a reserve at the first year of payments, and one only requires us to fund a reserve if our debt coverage ratio goes under a certain amount.
So in out of the $28 million or $14 million per fund, how much of that is that is pretty much off limits for?
I believe, I don't want to misquote a specific number, but it would be in the range of it would be in the range of 1 year of debt service total across the two loans, which is about $5.6 million.
Okay, thank you.
I remembered my question. On the grant so far that you were denied, do you get any feedback along with that? Are you able to circle back to them and say, is there anything else that would have improved our application or improved our chances?
Yes, on a few of them, the feedback was you're not hurting nearly enough compared to other communities that are running out of water right now. But the Bureau of Reclamation were very helpful, and there's $4 billion were just added to it with the Inflation Reduction Act that just passed. I think it was just signed by the president or about to be signed. That one we have a much better chance, and they gave very helpful feedback last year when we were denied funding. To speak more concretely about the injection well components of the project. Wastewater is important, of course, but they're looking to understand the reclamation side more, so very helpful feedback, and we're hopeful this round of funding.
Okay. Others?
Yeah, and if I could piggyback on that one as well, the Urban and Multi-Benefit Drought Relief Grant, the one $10 million, that was, I think there was only $180 million allocated for that, and there was $1.4 billion of requests for that. Something is highly competitive, to say the least, on that one. Any other large-scale grants like that on the horizon coming up from the government? What other ones would be coming up in the future? I know they speak about them in here, but is there anything else you're hearing?
I think these are the ones that are on the near-term horizon, but Greg might know of a few more, so I'll let him answer that.
Yeah, so right now what's on the horizon is some of these grants have subsequent rounds that we're eligible to apply for.
Okay.
And so that's something that we intend to do. I'm not aware of any right now that we're looking at, but we have our consultants constantly looking at opportunities. They're in touch with the newsletters from the various agencies that offer these opportunities. So it's something that we monitor, but right now I'm not aware of any other than the subsequent rounds from the ones we've already applied for.
Sarah, I'm not sure I understood you. On the $5 million principal reduction, is the principal amount the city's borrowing 159.8 or 154.8?
1 the agreements are structured as 159.8, and then there's within those agreements a $5 million principal forgiveness. So okay. The net amount that we're actually paying debt service on is the 154.
It's the 154.
If we got approved for an amendment.
Yeah. Okay. That you know, I ask you why that wasn't negative on table three. That to me was obviously confusing.
Yeah, I could notate the $66 million as the construction loan, and then a negative $5 million, which would net to the same. But
well,
yeah,
$5 million is $5 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have a comment on Michael. You brought up a good point about the oversubscription for the grant program. Typically, how this works is a lot of times they start funding a smaller percentage of the total ask. so they can fund a lot more agencies, and then year after year they add money to those grantee award recipients. So if, in other words, the city may not get 10 million year one, maybe they get 2 million and they can add dollars in subsequent years. Yeah.
And has the debt service begun already for the loans that have already?
No, it has not. And we would probably seek to extend that timeline when we go for the SRF amendment, because the project timeline could be updated at that time too, which would also help the funds.
Is it supposed to begin at completion?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Any other questions?
I had one more.
Go for it.
You sort of touched briefly on the alternative. If there isn't enough cash, if we get denied on this loan, it's a muni bond of some sort. I guess, could you characterize if that's at a 4 or 5% rate? What does that mean for debt service, and if you've thought through that?
Good question. Yeah, I think we would probably work with a financial advisor at that point to determine, were we able to get any additional grant funding that would reduce the amount that we would need, what the net amount that we would potentially need to bond for would be, given how, much cash the city would potentially be willing to utilize, and maybe bringing back decisions like that for you and council to evaluate, because it doesn't often make financial sense to issue a small bond. And so we may also look at, potentially other upcoming capital needs and a broader package. We've not gone into detail in that area yet.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make a comment about the timing. Tomorrow evening's Public Works Advisory Board, you're going to do the fourth quarter WRF report, and they've got a time schedule in there for the injection wells. And based on the published cost, less what's been spent to date, there's about $8 million of that for construction that isn't going to happen for another 18 months. So you're going to generate over that next, from now until the spring of 2024, more cash to put a little less pressure on you. And I'm not sure that's been clear.
You're correct. Each year, both funds are generating more revenues in excess of their operating expenditures. And those are available for capital projects, including but not limited to this one. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And do you have I know you didn't have the June 30th numbers yet, but it would be higher than the numbers that you presented for June of 21?
It depends in part on the reimbursement timing from the SRF loan, because there is a lag at the end of each fiscal year. So we'll have to wait and see the timing of those disbursements. But at the end of the day, assuming we're reimbursed 100% of what we remit to them at the end of the project, then yes, Committee Member Alexander is correct. The funds would be accumulating more cash each year.
Any other questions or comments?
No, but I can't.
All right. Let's see. Well, I think our action item, right?
Madam Chair, I think we need to do public comment for the item.
For this item?
Yeah, the first one was just for items not on the agenda.
Got it. Okay. So I'll open it up to public comment.
Good afternoon, committee. My name is Paul Donnelly. I'm a resident of Morro Bay, homeowner, ratepayer. And the way I look at this $21 million loan is like somebody taking out a second mortgage on my house without my consent. The ratepayers didn't cause these escalations, and they will not benefit one iota from it. So I'd like to see somebody looking out for the ratepayers for once in this thing, because this thing has just it's a runaway train, and I doubt that it's going to end at $160 million. So somehow control the costs, look back on what's done. $31 million has been spent just for consultants and city staff alone. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Betty Winholtz. I think more than anything, I just am noting some items here, and maybe it bounces off of Mr. Donnelly's previous comment that, but it, I thought your question when the board members was, we may have $30 million available in cash, but really we only have $20 million available in cash because some of it has to be retained for what we already have dished out. And so the idea that I think also that we have to save money in case we get these grants because there's matching money to go with that. And that matching money, and we don't know when we're going to get that, if we get that, but that turns out to be about, I think it was like, well, I didn't write that figure down. But what I did note, I think, was that we have $30 million, but we would be spending $12 million to save less than that. And it was like, why don't we just use the cash then instead of getting the loan, because you'd save, you know, $10 million. But it sounds like we don't even have the $30 million to save the $10 million. So I don't envy you your job. I'm glad that you're there. But I would also say that considering the CPI and the idea that we're having robust charges, or you have you use the term robust in your staff report, that we have good money, cash in our accounts. And it's always been my understanding that if that's true, then you really can't increase our charges. But you're kind of going to get around that by calling them CPI increases. So I guess I want you to know that it sounds a little sneaky, and that maybe that you'll do CPI increases instead of ask for another 218 vote. So I think just know that we're lots of eyes are watching, hoping that you, I don't know what you can do, but really, please watch out for us rather than, I don't know what to say. I just am heartbroken that we're having this problem.
Good afternoon. Linda Donnelly, resident of Morro Bay. I didn't write anything down because when I think of the number of $21 million, it's just astounding to me that the city has to come back and ask for more money. We were promised a $126 million not to exceed project. We are currently at $160 million, if not more. We have streets that are torn up that are not going to be, they aren't even in the contract to be paved when they're all done with Quintana. At all, not to mention the streets in the Heights that have been torn up because they've had to go through detours for months, and the wear and tear on people's cars. You know, I know that I'm going to look back. I mean, I'm what I'm saying is I'm speaking as looking back. We didn't have to do this project. It's way overbuilt. The city doesn't have the money. There's only 10,000 residents. 2,500 approximately of those residents are children. Cayucas left us. They said adios, even though they've been our partner for over 60 years and they own 40% of our wastewater treatment plant. They built their own sewer plant for under less than $30 million. Once they left us, the city was in compliance with what the State Regional Water Control Board asked us to do at our current wastewater plant that had just been upgraded in the 80s. I am just sick that I have to stand here and bring all this up. And I don't do it because I know that everybody's sitting in this room up here in front of me is probably going to vote to do it. They're going to go and put the little application because, you know, on Tuesday night, we're going to stand in front of the city council again and we're going to tell them the same thing And it's going to fall on deaf ears, unfortunately. But you know why I got up out of my chair today was just to come down here and let y'all know that just because we aren't sitting in the chair doesn't mean we're not watching at home, doesn't mean we're not reading the newspapers or writing emails and following everything that has been going on with this project since before day one. And I say before day one because we had committees like the WOFCAC looking at things. They had the blueprints for the design and construction and everything. So we know what they were supposed to do and what they didn't do and why we're in this mess. This whole city, the people that sit at City Hall and all our people that are paid or whether they're elected or not, should be ashamed of what they've put our city in, which is debt. Thank you, sorry. Not sorry, really, but thank you for listening.
Are there any other public comments in the room or online?
Good afternoon, Council. I just have a question as a new resident to the community. My name is Joseph Lloyd. My question being, what studies have been conducted as to the long-term operating cost of the facility, as well as retrofits in the future, and how have those been compared to the existing operational cost of the existing facility?
Yeah, our committee doesn't have that information, but there is a separate committee for the water reclamation facility and the Public Works Advisory Board. That would probably be we're the Finance Advisory Committee.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I don't have all of that information, but some folks have been around long enough they might be able to recite it off the top of their head.
He meets tomorrow night.
There you go.
Tomorrow night?
Yes, right, Public Works Advisory Board tomorrow night. Thank you for being engaged as a new community member. Are there any online questions?
Thank you, Chair. We have no raised hands in the queue.
All right. Well, thank you all for your comments. I understand certainly that this is a pain point, but I think with the facts in front of us right now, it seems logical to pursue if we do have to pursue financing to try to get it at the lowest rate possible. So I would make a motion in favor of your recommendation that you plan on to council. And of course, be lovely if it wasn't needed. But
oh, can I make a comment?
Or sure.
You want to make a comment?
Go ahead.
Point of order, a motion was put on the floor. Do we have a second before we take comment? Thank you.
I'll second it for the purpose of discussion.
Okay, now you can go to comment.
Initially, in the spring of 2018, when the city determined the $41 surcharge, which coupled with the 2015 rate increase, was going to pay for personnel costs, operating and maintenance supply costs, capital project improvements, non-WRF capital project improvements, and debt service. That was based on the available loans that the city had received commitments for at the time, which included a $10.3 million planning loan at 1.7%, a WIFIA loan, and municipal bonds. The total amount was $95 million, and the debt service was projected by Bartles and Wells to be $5,293,000. It's just one of the components of the cost structure of the water and sewer funds. What's been really incredible is that we're discussing borrowing $155 million this afternoon, which is a $60 million increase. But it's only going to cost an extra $335,000 a year. And when you look at the $17 million combined budgets of the water and sewer funds, that's 2%. That's basically trying to figure out the new plant's going to have a couple less employees. It really is, it's just terrific that the city was fortunate enough, probably in a once-in-a-lifetime situation, to receive these loans at less than 1% interest over the 30 years. I personally think the city's done, and the city council, have not done a great job of explaining this to the average citizen. The discussion has been these lower rate increases. Today, you mentioned, and I've heard it before, it's going to save the citizens over $100 million in interest expense over the life of the loan. Anytime the average person refinances their house, trust me, they don't think about the interest they're going to save over the life of the 30-year mortgage. They want to know how much their monthly mortgage is going to decrease. And the fact that even though the city is borrowing an extra $60 million, and they'd be nuts not to borrow it. It's too bad they can't borrow $160 million at 0.9%. And the impact on the annual debt service is so small that it shouldn't even be a topic of conversation. That's the comment I wanted to make. I have a motion.
You have
I had a follow-up as well.
Okay.
One of the things I'm encouraged about from this approach is that it reduces the reliance on cash reserves. The WRF is probably the most important project we will do in a very long time, but there are many, many other projects in the One Water Plan that are urgently needed, and I would want to see us preserve our cash reserves so all of those projects in the One Water Plan get done, and that cash isn't simply operating capital for the WRF. So I want to congratulate and encourage the city to proceed in that direction personally.
A couple things real quick. Number one, Betty, you're right. I'm heartbroken about this too. You're exactly spot on right. I think as many people in this community have seen over the years, this has gone from a project of $126 million, now we're up to $160 million. Now, I will say this in agreement with a lot of people in this room. How we're covering that cost and what we're doing to attempt to cover those increased costs is fantastic. As far as we're doing the best we can to do something like that. But the point being, as brought up by Linda, we shouldn't be here in the first place. You know, we have, and that has to be recognized by everybody in this room. You know, and we talk about the basic things. We talk about, you know, how Quintana Road is torn up, and we all have to drive on this, and we deal with the infrastructure problems out here. I know that this finance committee has talked about this, about are we going to get those roads repaid when this project is over? Is that going to be done? Is it included in this project?
No.
Okay. That was a painful oversight when this project was first put together, if that's true. So please, I mean, correct me. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But make sure we understand
that. I appreciate the opportunity, Committee Member Woody, to provide a clarification of that. So. Any area of the road that is torn up does have to be brought back to its prior condition.
Mm-hmm.
The thing there is that doesn't mean that entire stretch of road is paved. It might just be that 8-foot wide trench that mm-hmm. gets paved over. And in the time that the project has been going on, the surrounding roadway has also deteriorated in condition, which means that when they do repair, when the contractor does repair those sections of road, it's going to feel bumpy. Just to address a comment earlier, it's not as unfortunately not as simple as including road paving work as part of these loans or as part of the contract, because the funding source has some limitations. We can't pay for road paving that has nothing to do with the project out of the water and sewer fund. It really needs to come out of the general fund or Measure Q&E. And so that would actually have to be a separately budgeted project, which we do intend to bring to City Council in the next year or two.
Okay, yeah, and I don't want to put words in your mouth at this point, but I know you and I have had talks about this on the side, and I know maybe it's fair to say that all of you guys are just as frustrated as everybody else in the audience over this one. I mean, we're all driving on these roads, and I get it. I really do. I think in the grand scheme of it, from a municipal government standpoint, what we could have done a better job with is saying, okay, we know that we cannot use these water funds for road paving. We know that everything's allocated in certain buckets, so to speak, of money. But the reality is that in the future, what the city council and the mayor should be doing in the future when they plan these projects is say, okay, look, we've got to look at this from a construction standpoint. We know we're going to tear this up. We know that we can't use these funds for this, but let's plan down the road so when this project is done, we have all of these parts put together correctly. And I do understand that this project has ballooned up a lot further than it should have due to a lot of things that have taken place financially in the last few years, specifically with COVID, the COVID shutdown, so many of us losing our jobs. You know, I work in construction. I'm an engineer. I get it. But at the end of the day, how we got to this point at $160 million cannot be taken lightly from anybody in this community. I mean, I think it's great how we've been able to address the shortcomings that have taken place. I think that's incredibly important. I think, and I commend everybody in staff and everybody on the council for doing such a good job with that. But on the flip of it, we shouldn't be here in the first place, not at this level. If it started at $126 million, regardless if you supported it or not originally, if it bumped up by a few percentage points to $128 million, okay, let's talk about problems we could have dealt with down the road. But this gets pretty lopsided. Now, if I could take it a step further for one second, just to make sure we understand this, this is a finance committee. We are not the approval body. We're volunteers who are sitting up here because we shared your frustration. So we filled out a form and we interviewed and we got appointed. This is a 7-member finance committee. Notice we only have 4 people sitting up here. I say this generally to everybody in the community. If you're frustrated, understand that's why we're here, because we share that frustration, because we saw things like this. I would encourage everybody, and I'm not being facetious or sarcastic when I say this, honestly, please fill out the form, join us on this, help us, because we get these reports. And I promise you this, every one of us are frustrated over this. We don't do this in terms of, God knows we don't get paid, we're volunteering our time to do this when we get called up here. And that's all it is. So we get those reports, we sit down, talk with the city manager, talk with staff, who do an amazing job here day after day and week after week, doing the best we can to answer all these questions. But I would strongly encourage anybody who has these concerns and that caused us to all be sitting up here, please join us, be a part of this. We would be thrilled, honestly. We're 3 members shy, and I think they've had to, because nobody's filling out the forms, we're down to now a 5-member board, and we can't even get one person. How long have we waited for somebody just to fill out and to fill this last seat? How long has this been going on? How long was that?
Eight months.
I mean, so it's like I said, I would be elated, seriously. It's a tremendous learning experience when you get right in the middle of all this municipal government. I know, Betty, you have an extensive background in this. You probably know more about this, and I'll speak for myself, more than I know. I know that. You're a wealth of information on all of this. But please get involved. Be a voice like you are. But understand that, you know, we are frustrated with this. I'm frustrated with this. I know I've had great conversations with these folks. This should never have gone up to $160 million in the first place. So, I'm sorry.
Are you done? Thank you. All right. Any other comments? We had a motion, and you said you've got a motion as well?
Well, I basically just copied the recommendation, mm-hmm. except I added one word. The one word I added is strongly supports, strongly. The whole idea about borrowing money at 0.9% is just something that I would dream about. So if it's okay with the committee, I'd like to say, make a motion that the Citizens Financial Advisory Committee strongly supports the staff's recommendation to the City Council to apply for a state revolving fund loan amendment in the amount of $21,172,000 to cover the full water reclamation facility project cost.
Clarification, is that a request to amend the motion that's on the floor?
Yeah, that sounded like you wanted to substitute a different motion.
Oh, is that okay? I'm sorry, I forgot about that.
Any comments from other committee members, a preference?
You don't like strongly?
No, okay. I don't.
Okay. When's the last time you got financing for 0.9%? Okay, I'll amend my motion to do nothing more than just copy the city's the staff recommendation that's on page one of our staff report.
Is that consistent with the motion that's already on the floor by Chair Shepler and seconded by Vice Chair Shep, so we could vote on the original motion?
I'm comfortable with that.
You what? Never mind, I can't hear you.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so we are going to vote on the original motion, which was made by Chair Shepler and seconded by Vice Chair Peck to implement the recommendation in your packet. I'll call a roll call on that, and then we'll go from there. Committee Member Alexander?
Yes.
Committee Member Woody?
Yes.
Vice Chair Peck?
Yes.
Chair Shepler?
Yes.
The motion passes 4-0. Okay, are we moving on to our next agenda item?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I can do that. Go ahead. Got it. Okay. So item B2 is the discussion on budget and brief update and staff's recommended format for that. I'm presenting. Sarah may have to leave a few minutes early for this item, but worked very closely with her and Kelly here on this. Just by way of background, on the budget and brief, the Citizen Finance Advisory Committee in the past had worked pretty diligently with staff to create a budget and brief document that was a trifold that was prepared for public consumption, put out on the public counters in various city offices. And the city also has a tradition of the last several years of receiving the budget award for both from GFOA and CSMOFO, which is the California version of the Government Finance Officers Association, for awards in budget excellence, which is really a template or format by which you express the various levels of detail of information to the community, communicate what their tax dollars are and what they're used for. Since that time, we've been moving to create, a more consumable or easily consumable information using data and graphics to help express information with less words. With some various success, we did use a lot of that during COVID-19 to help communicate sometimes very complex and contradictory information getting from various levels of government about masks and other things. And we see there's some value in moving that approach into how we communicate both budget and also policy. With the fiscal year 22-23 budget, as this committee is aware, we moved to a digital platform to do our budget, one that sort of seamless. You can click on information as a community member and really get different looks at important data and to communicate, again, where are your money's coming from and where it's going. And at the April meeting of this year, CFAC requested a budget and brief
discussion, and then in May continued that item to this meeting to evaluate staff recommendations. And furthermore, just to make sure we're aware that the council sort of set the work plan for the CFAC this year, and if we were going to go into greater depth on this, probably need to go to council first to get support for taking this item back as a work plan for CFAC. Just in terms of how we communicated the budget, really want to applaud Sarah and her team, both the and this committee and council for hosting public meetings, also creating easy to access information on the website, press releases and emails, and then e-notifying to our subscribers on the website, using the city manager newsletter, as well as posting to the city's Facebook page to get this out to as many people who would be interested. It's not often that people look into what their city's budget looks like, but you want to make it those who are interested to as easy as possible for them to access that information, to understand that information. So there was a question about web traffic to date on our budget. As of now, we had 241 unique page views. That means there's 241 unique individuals looking at this for a total of 590 total page views. Average time spent is 6 minutes, which means people are spending time trying to learn how their budget is spent here in the community. And there's probably likely additional readers of summary content that didn't click into the budget websites. So we, with all that in mind, we are proposing a more hopefully visually compelling and easily understood set of information that takes the kind of the highest level possible, where somebody who has about 2 minutes of their time or maybe less to look at something, to try to really understand at the very high level what their budget is, the city's budget is, and how it's being utilized. So this would be, this is a mock-up of what a page one of a mailer would look like. Could also be converted into a postcard that's sent out in the mail, but that's far more expensive. This venue would get out into people's mailboxes through the water and utility bill, as an example. So it starts off with the total citywide budget, operating and capital, and it breaks it down into the operations of the city in very high level public works, public safety categories, admin, et cetera. The right side, you have the capital budget highlights, which has the high level, how much is being spent, and the types of projects that are being funded through the capital budget. Links to more information, and at the bottom is the key city revenues that add up to the total revenues generated for the year. So again, it covers the high level budget, what that money is being spent on, both on operations and capital, and where that money is coming from. And then again, the Measure EQ is becoming more of a focus for the city, given that it equates to roughly 25% of the city's general fund. A lot of interplay between those two funds, so we thought it would be important, particularly with CFAC's of line of responsibility, helping to oversee these funds, to really, again, call it out at the very high level what that tax is. It's a 1.5% local transaction and use tax combined Measure EQ. Generates $4.3 million, called out there, and then very simplistic terms, what it's funding within the city, which is a number of police officers, firefighters, lifeguards, and maintenance workers, with a small reference point to the capital money that it provides and the engineering support to execute on those capital projects. So again, we're trying to move to a very simplistic two-pager. One would be ideal, but then you're really just cramming too much information. We think this is highly digestible at the very high level. Folks want to get into more depth. There's a link to learn more about the budget. But I'm thinking of the average everyday user. You got 251 folks who are going out of their way to try to find this information. We'd like to bring that information to those who maybe haven't thought about it. And if they are going to take the time to look at it, make it very easy and compelling to view that information. So that's what was the genesis of this. We probably spend couple hundred dollars on a designer to come up with this. The mailer is probably less than a couple thousand dollars to get to most of the homes in our community. So the next steps, we appreciate the work of the CFAC and for bringing this back up as a discussion item. We're prepared to mail this out in the September water and sewer bill or utility billing as an insert. And you know, if there's desire to look into this more, again, that would be sort of a work plan item. But we're also slated to roll out the transparency module through the ClearGov application, which is similar to what we used to host on the website OpenGov, but at a more reasonable rate and probably more useful information for the average community member. So with that, we're recommending to support staff's recommendation to utilize an updated budget and brief communication tool with an emphasis on Measure E and Q&E funds and provide input regarding any minor modifications to the content presented. Happy to answer any questions you have.
Sure. One thing is, so when is that module going to roll out where somebody could kind of drill down?
Hi, everyone. Kelly Mattis, Senior Administrative Services Analyst. The initial timeline to utilize the transparency module was the end of summer, early fall. So the goal is the latest September, October to use those tools that are part of the contract with ClearGov. There's a transparency page for projects specifically where Public Works can communicate things out to the public, budget status, the public can put comments and questions, and there's some interaction through that platform, but that's part of it.
Is there an early look available that's accessible yet?
No, we have to actually build it and then turn it on. It'll create its own URL for the project, specifically the project page.
Okay.
Yeah.
Other questions?
Probably not questions. I do have some comments if it's appropriate time for comments. I think I commend the city for trying to communicate this information. I think in the process of doing it, you've sort of made it something that's complicated into more of an infographic that might do it a disservice. Specifically on this cover page that kind of combines all your revenues and expenses. I deal with this stuff a lot, and it led me to more questions than answers. You're sort of combining enterprise funds, trust funds, general fund, and I actually think gives the public the wrong impression that there's probably more money out there to fix potholes than there really is, or money can't be shifted around between funds. So to that extent, I kind of like this, Homer, because it does make that separation. So that's a comment. I thought the layout was busy for the first page and just had a hard time mentally navigating through it. The QR code was too big. And then when we got to the Measure E and Q, we are doing more things than just personnel. Those are certainly important elements, but I thought for Measure E and Q, that could actually just be a project list or a map or something like that. And I think it's more format. Would really be encouraged to see how you take this item and then you link it to the transparency module, almost like a jumping off point. But to me, it seemed like in the effort to simplify it, we kind of went too far the other direction.
I have some comments too. Should we do comments before public comment? Mr. City Manager, protocol?
Typically questions and then public comment and then...
Yeah, I don't have any questions. So yeah. Public comment and then question, then comments.
Okay. We'll open it up for public comment first.
Thank you, Betty Winholtz. I'm surprised I'm agreeing with Mr. Peck. I find this real simplistic. I find it a more of a PR piece, and I don't think the city should be in the business of PR, frankly. I find it too general. I think that I'd rather have you spend the $2,000 on noticing people to come to the zoning ordinance tonight than $2,000 to go look on the web to a site that doesn't give you a lot of information. So I think it's kind of a misplaced use of money, and that there are probably other ways to do that. And I can't tell you how many people have said to me, you know, whatever comes in my water bill, I throw it away and I just pay my bill. So I'm concerned about that in terms of waste of money. If you're going to do it, maybe make it a separate mailing. And I know that will cost more, but that's more likely to get the attention of people.
Any other public comment? Anyone online?
Thank you. I do not see any raised hands in the queue.
Okay, so we can continue comments.
You could talk.
Yeah.
No, I'm not allowed to talk anymore.
You are.
When I first looked at this, I had a lot of concerns about it, about the format. So I decided to talk with a former member of the Finance Committee, who went on to serve as on the City Council, to see if my concerns were valid. She was on this board's subcommittee in the fall of 2016 that created the first budget brief. And yesterday she volunteered to create a different version of the document. So my perception of this at the last meeting was that we would put together a two-person subcommittee and maybe some folks, other folks, that we would actually do all the work, present the city council, the city staff with the final version for them just to validate the numbers, and basically be ready to go to the press and to be stuffed in the water bills. I don't totally agree with the last public speaker. I realize that a lot of people throw the inserts away, but some percentage of the population does look at them, especially considering the demographic here in Morro Bay. Very few people understand how the city's finances are structured, and I think that this would help. I know that in the staff report they talked about you know, using the new online budgeting format and ease for the citizens to look at and stuff like that. But when you show the statistics, and if you subtracted the members of this committee and the other boards and the city council and the city staff and the city employees, I'm not sure that your unique page looks by the average citizen would be very much, would be very many. So I'd like to take a crack at trying to develop something a little different. I mean, as an example, Mr. City Manager, the first thing I looked at here, if I was the unknowing average citizen looking at this, I would say, oh, the city's got an $8 million deficit. When are we going to, when are they going to raise my taxes, or when is the city going to be bankrupt? I thought that the major Q&E, while it's nice to say we had the firefighters and the police and all of that, and then way down in the corner it says 1.25 for capital projects. But again, back to what the previous public speaker said, this fiscal year, assuming that the capital budget projects is going to be presented to PWIB tomorrow night is accurate, the city's going to spend almost $3 million on street resurfacing this year. I mean, that should, in my mind, that should have been maybe a headline. You know, 8 miles of streets are going to be resurfaced. Something like that, you know. Anyway, those are just my comments about that. And I'd like to really see if the rest of the committee would agree to let us put a couple of us together and with a few other people and go ahead and try to redo this without any staff time at all.
If that's the will of the committee, then we'll make a recommendation to adjust your work plan, take that to City Council, and they'll come back to this committee in October.
Yeah, and if you don't like our product, you just pitch it.
All right. That's fine.
Do you agree with that at all, Courtney?
Yeah, I think there's a middle ground. I think the old version, the trifold, was a little bit too detailed. Normally, I wouldn't go down to the last dollar in a presentation like that, because there's a lot of people out there that just don't like looking at numbers, and as soon as they see this many numbers on a page, their eyes just glaze over, and they're going to discard it. So I think it was a noble effort to simplify and streamline, but it kind of went a little bit too much where I think it leaves a lot of questions, and it's just not clear. So something perhaps in between the two approaches, I think, would be a little bit more valuable. And it's hard because I'm a numbers person, so I can look at, a page like this and, enjoy reading it. And, but you want it to be accessible and approachable for the majority. But I think what has been done is just a little bit too high level, and there's a lot of wasted real estate, as Mr. Peck said, with numbers really, really big of this many firefighters, and you could be using that real estate for a little bit more content. And I think there's some other valuable work that's going on that the dollars are going towards that I think is important to recognize and also take credit for.
Does that mean you're going to volunteer?
I am happy to help. Yes. So should we table this until our next meeting in October?
Why don't we go ahead and make a motion to establish a two-person subcommittee and move forward?
You have to recommend to council the creation of a work plan item, and then council at the next September would say we agree with CFAC or we agree with staff.
Could we make a motion to recommend that we adjust our work plan?
Yes, that's what you would do. And by doing so, you'd say we want to do X, Y, and Z, but, recommend to council. And then don't want you to create a committee until we come back in October. And if council's blessed that, then you could do that then.
Our next meeting is November.
I think it's October. October 18th.
Oh, it is in October.
Yes.
Would you like to present that motion?
Sure. I would. The Citizens Finance Advisory Committee would like to recommend to the City Council that their work plan be adjusted to include a two-person subcommittee to develop two-person plus others subcommittee to develop a simplified budget brief.
Is there a second?
I will second that with the just to offer also the alternative that we're happy to receive alternatives from staff too, but I think he's trying to propose an option that won't require that much staff time, but we're happy to consider alternatives as well.
I'm not allowed to talk. I mean, we all know that.
Did the motion maker was happy with that friendly amendment?
Or no? Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely. I just don't want the staff to have to say we have. If the staff says to the City Council, we have to invest time in this, it's done. It's dead. So it's got to somehow keep the city staff out of this.
From a
time point of view,
we'd obviously be involved at some level. But yeah. Okay. Motion by Chair, motion by Alexander, second by Scheffler.
Okay. I can go ahead and open the roll call for that motion by Member Alexander and then second in by Chair Scheffler. Member Woody? Yes. Vice Chair Peck?
Yes.
Member Alexander and Chair Scheffler?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Motion carries 4-0.
Oh, yes, motion carries 4-0.
I would say as a separate item that I don't have any reservations about the city identifying accomplishments. That bell doesn't get rung probably or get unrung. Yeah, we talk about the $3 million in paving. I get a lot of comments from people, so when is that going to happen? You took a time out for the COVID, and now you're sort of getting back to it. I think that is something worth talking about, as long as they're documented accomplishments.
You know, assuming that the tomorrow's evening's Public Works Advisory Board, I can't remember what they're supposed to do with that capital project thing. But somehow if that would go to the city council, and the city council would say, hey, you know, we're going to do, you know, and when you add in the ADA accessibility and the 41 and Main Street roundabout, you know, you're spending almost $4 million on something to do with making the streets better. I mean, it used to be 700,000. Big deal.
Okay, thank you. Our next agenda item is future agenda items. So I think we have this as one topic, and
our sales tax consultant, HDL, is scheduled for the October meeting. And then depending on what council does with this, the previous item, that would come back. And is there anything else? I don't think there was.
All right. And next item is the next meeting, which is October 18th at 3 p.m. Hopefully everyone has that on their calendar. All right. Otherwise, move to adjourn. Okay. All right, thanks.
Thank you.